Hi everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. If you go to Mass today, you'll hear from Mark chapter 6, verses 34 to 44. And this is the famous feeding of the 5,000, Mark's version of that. So let's start by reading the passage. As Jesus stepped ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he took pity on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he set himself to teach them at some length. By now it was getting very late, and his disciples came up to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and it is getting very late. So send them away, and they can go to the farms and villages round about, to buy themselves something to eat." He replied, "Give them something to eat yourselves." They answered, "Are we to go and spend 200 denarii on bread for them to eat?" "How many loaves have you?" he asked. "Go and see." And when they had found out, they said to him, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people together in groups on the green grass, and they sat down on the ground in squares of hundreds and fifties. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, raised his eyes to heaven, and said the blessing. Then he broke the loaves and handed them to his disciples to distribute among the people. He also shared out the 2 fish among them all. They all ate as much as they wanted. They collected 12 baskets full of scraps of bread and pieces of fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Okay, so this is the famous feeding of the 5,000, a miracle that almost everyone knows about. It's the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. So all 4 of the Gospel authors, despite having different styles and purposes, they all see this as a really important event. Possibly because all 4 of the Gospel authors would see the Eucharist as really important, and this is a miracle that specifically foreshadows the Eucharist. So verse 34 at the start here, Jesus steps ashore. So if you read just before this, and that's always the best place to start when doing an exegesis. They'd just been out on the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples are trying to have some quiet time. They're trying deliberately to be alone on the boat and to have some rest. But while they're gone, while they're out on the boat, the crowds have worked out where Jesus is, and they all sort of run around to the other side of the lake to wait for him. Which is certainly possible because the lake is only about 5 miles across. So it says here large crowds, and later we learn that that's 5,000 men. So realistically, we're probably looking at about 20,000 people here that are waiting for him. By this point, Jesus has become very well known as a healer and a teacher. It says Jesus took pity on them. So Jesus could have been annoyed at this point because he was trying to have some quiet time with his disciples, but he chose to show compassion. And the word here that's used, the verb is actually something that connotes a very deeply felt passion in the gut, like almost a gut-wrenching compassion. And they're like sheep without a shepherd is what Mark says. So the analogy here seems to be that just as in real life, sheep without a shepherd are lost and they need a leader. Well, these people, the Israelites here, have no spiritual guide and they're spiritually lost. And so to remedy the fact that these people are spiritually lost, the very next thing Jesus does is he teaches them for a long time. He teaches them. So Mark here is probably hinting that Jesus is the divine shepherd that's talked about in the Old Testament. There's quite a few Old Testament passages which predict that one day God himself will be the shepherd of the people of Israel. And Mark might be hinting that Jesus is supposed to be seen as that divine shepherd. So verse 35, it says it's getting late. And the reality is that if it gets any later, then the people, because of the walking distance, the people won't be able to find any villages that are still open, any village shops or markets that will be able to sell them food. So if the people want food, they're going to have to go very soon, is what the disciples are saying. So that's what they recommend to Jesus, that he sends them away. Now, the disciples aren't being cruel or they're not being short with Jesus. They're just being practical. In their minds, the logical thing to do would be, all right, it's time for the people to go. They need to go get some food. So Jesus turns to them in verse 37 and says to the disciples, give them something to eat yourselves. So the disciples probably had already thought of this. They would if they could, but they don't think they can feed 20,000 people. Jesus is not being abrupt here. He's actually being quite serious because he's about to show them that they can, in fact, feed the people based on the food that the disciples have themselves. Even though the disciples don't realize it's possible, Jesus is about to make that happen. The disciples here probably get a little bit offended. They say, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread for them to eat? And so one denarius was a day's wage. So for them to get enough food for this 20,000 people, it sounds like they'd have to spend 200 days' wages, which is just not possible. This is a poor group of fishermen. So they're pretty incredulous about it. Similar to Moses' complaint in the desert, if you look at Numbers 11, Moses actually says to God, where can I get meat to give all of these people? Now, keep looking for the parallels between Moses in the wilderness and the Israelites here in this passage in the wilderness. There's a lot of interesting parallels that Mark is deliberately wanting his readers to notice. Verse 38, Jesus doesn't answer their question. He doesn't answer, yes, go and find 200 denarii. He sort of comes up with a different solution. He says, how many loaves have you? Go and see. So the disciples would have had some bread already as part of their own group. They always had food on hand to serve the needs of the disciples. So they go and count up how much they've got. It turns out they have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, loaves of bread don't look the same as they do today. They're probably more of like a round or oval shape. So Jesus hears that they have 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he obviously says to himself, all right, that's enough. So verse 39, he orders the disciples to get all the people together in groups on the green grass. So this is a pretty big task for the disciples. Jesus has just asked them to manage 20,000 people and to get them to sit down in groups. Now Mark here, as he's the only one who mentions this, he says the green grass. Why does he mention that the grass is green? It's not an accident, and probably a lot of scholars would say he's deliberately getting his readers to think of Psalm 23. So in Psalm 23, that's the famous "The Lord is my shepherd" psalm. It actually mentions that the Lord leads me to green pastures as part of setting a table before them. So here, Jesus is getting his people to sit down for a meal on the green grass, and Mark wants his readers to realize that there's a connection here with the psalm. Really interesting. Verse 40, they sat down on the ground, so they're actually getting ready for a meal. This is what you would do if you were getting ready for a banquet meal. And they sit down in squares of hundreds and fifties, so that's to make it easier to distribute the food. This is actually very similar to the arrangement of the Israelites in the desert back in Exodus. They were grouped in hundreds and fifties as they camped in the desert. And so again, Mark is making a link to the way the Israelites were fed in the Old Testament. So just as the Israelites received bread in the wilderness, God is again about to feed his people bread out in the wilderness. Verse 41, Jesus said the blessing and broke the loaves. Now, it was quite common for a Jewish man, if they're the leader of the meal, they would usually say a prayer, bless God in heaven, and then break the bread and pass it around. And we know if you look at the documents at Qumran, where the Essenes lived, they saw this as actually almost a sacramental thing, breaking the bread before a meal and passing it out. So there's foreshadowings here of the Last Supper. In fact, very similar words are used, such as he took the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. It's supposed to recall, for Mark's readers, it's supposed to bring to mind the Last Supper. So he gives the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to the disciples to distribute, and the word he forgave is actually a continuing verb, as in he kept giving. So this might be the point at which the multiplication happens. Jesus just keeps putting his hand in the basket and more keeps coming out. That's the image we're getting here. They all ate as much as they wanted, so no one in the crowd went hungry, just as in Exodus 16:18, the Israelites were fed by manna in the desert, and no one went hungry in Exodus 16 either. Verse 43, the disciples collect 12 basketfuls of scraps of bread and pieces of fish. So for such a big meal like this, the disciples would want to collect the scraps so that they could use it as leftovers for themselves for future meals, so that makes sense. There might be some significance to the number 12. There probably is. So maybe it means that God will provide for the 12 tribes of Israel. Or maybe it means that Jesus is gathering a new Israel to himself. So probably the 12 baskets in some way represents the 12 tribes. And Mark wants his readers to notice that. Mark doesn't usually include a lot of detail in his gospel. So when he does, it's usually significant in some way. So what's happened in this miracle here? Well, at some point in the distribution process, the food has multiplied, though it's not entirely clear when. Jesus, notice he doesn't make the food out of thin air. He takes what they already have and then he multiplies it. And that's a really important theological principle. Now, this is not the first time this has happened in the Bible. In the Old Testament, very similar miracles happen, particularly in 2 Kings chapter 4, when the prophet Elisha multiplies 20 loaves of bread and gives it to 100 men. And they still have some left over. So it's very, very similar to that miracle in 2 Kings 4. Often people hear about the multiplication or feeding of the 5,000 and they think it's this new thing. But in fact, God has done it before in the Old Testament. But here, Jesus started with fewer loaves than 20, and he fed a much, much larger crowd than 100 men. So Jesus is being portrayed as being even greater than Elisha. Verse 44, we learn that those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. So in that culture, if you were doing a head count, you would pretty much only count the men because they represented the families. So if we have 5,000 men and we say that probably most men had brought their wives along and at least two kids, perhaps, then we're looking at about 20,000 people that are here at this event. So that's our passage today. How does the Catholic Church develop teachings based on this passage? Well, the Matthew version of the passage gets a bit more attention in the Catechism, and it pulls apart the Matthew passage a bit more in terms of Jesus working miracles. But there's a really interesting paragraph of the Catechism which makes a reference to something you wouldn't expect from this Mark passage. So paragraph 472 of the Catechism, which is in the section about Christ's soul and how his mind and his faculties worked as God in human form. And earlier in the Mark chapter 6 passage, notice Jesus had to ask the disciples how many loaves and fishes they had. He doesn't read their minds. He actually has to ask them for that information. And that's what the Catechism takes up here. So in paragraph 472, it says, "This human soul that the Son of God assumed is endowed with a true human knowledge. As such, this knowledge could not in itself be unlimited. It was exercised in the historical conditions of his existence in space and time. This is why the Son of God could, when he became man, increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, and would even have to inquire for himself about what one in the human condition can learn only from experience. This corresponded to the reality of his voluntary emptying of himself, taking the form of a slave." So that last little bit of the paragraph about there are times when he has to inquire and learn things from experience. That's, and it mentions, among other passages, there's a reference to Mark chapter 6 here in the footnotes of the Catechism. So really, really interesting how the Church develops teaching based on Christ and how almost how his brain works, just based on little passages like this one in Mark chapter 6. Okay, I hope that's been helpful for you and that you've learnt something new. Thanks for listening.